It was as though their lives was a harbor where no storm could prevail, a fortress that no enemy could conquer.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
Whenever we are tempted, so to speak, to throw in the towel, I don't know if you ever felt that way. Sometimes, perhaps, we come to church, we're ready to hand in our Bibles. It's all over. We've lost the battle, we want to quit. Whenever we come with that spirit, whenever we're tempted to throw in the towel or hand in our Bible and give up, it would do us well for a few moments to reflect upon the sufferings of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that would become for us a motivation to abide faithful out of a spirit of gratitude and thankfulness for all that He has done, and out of a spirit of realization that we have never encountered any pressure or any test or any circumstance that even remotely approximates what Jesus Christ endured for us on the cross. It's a chief source of motivation to abide faithful, to refuse to throw in the towel, to refuse to hand in our Bibles, and to abide faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to revitalize our view of Christ's suffering and perhaps rededicate our lives to Him in the light of it. We're given two significant facets of instruction in this connection, I believe, in the third verse of Hebrews chapter 12. I see two things there. First of all, our reflection. And the second thing I see there is our reaction. We are not to be wearied and to grow faint in our minds. Our reflection, the Bible says, we're to consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself. Our reaction, lest or in order that we should not be wearied and faint in our minds. Now let's talk about this for just a moment. First of all, our reflection. The Bible says, consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself. Have you done that lately? When you do that, when you see what He endured, it'll become a source of motivation for you to continue faithful in your Christian service for the Lord Jesus. Now, as I look at that phrase, talking about our reflection, first of all, I see that phrase, consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself. As I look at that phrase, there are three things that stand out to me. May I share them with you briefly? One, our focus. Consider Him. Two, His faithfulness that endured such contradiction. And three, their fury or ferocity or animosity or hostility directed toward Him. Such contradiction of sinners against Himself. One, I see our focus, His faithfulness, and their fury or ferocity against Him. Now let's talk about those three points for just a moment. Let's reflect upon them. First, he says we're to have a special focus, our focus. Consider Him. I think that one of our problems in our day and age is that we do not think enough about Jesus Christ. Start rearranging your focus. Begin to focus upon the right things, upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's in the middle voice. I don't want to get too technical here, but that's very important. It's in the middle voice. Whenever there's a verb in the middle voice in the New Testament, in the Greek New Testament, it means that you need to energetically and in one sense excitedly get involved in the action of this verb. Start doing something you have not been doing before and do it energetically. Aorist middle imperative. Consider Him. When we see what Christ yielded up in our behalf through His dying, we compare the loyalty of Christ to the Word of God, to the Heavenly Father, and to our well-being. When we compare the loyalty of Christ to those things, and then we compare that with our living, we are convicted and we are motivated to become more faithful in Christ. So we are taught, first of all, in Hebrews 12:3, that we are to think. Consider Him. You know, there's a Bible principle. The Bible principle is this: we become like that which we focus upon. We become like mirrors reflecting to the world around us the essence of our focus, and that's in the Bible. The Bible says, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. We transmute thought into actions and attitudes. And so if we take our eyes off of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to engage in the wrong actions and exude the wrong attitudes. But if we focus upon Jesus Christ as we think in our heart, so are we. We will become like him. We become like that upon which we focus. God is always wanting us to be like Christ, like him. We're taught in the New Testament, Romans chapter 8 and verse 29, that God's ultimate purpose is to conform us to the image of Christ. We're taught in 1 John chapter 3, verse 2, that when Jesus comes, we shall see him, focus upon him, and when we do, we will be like him. God intends to reorder the universe so that what he originally intended will ultimately be fulfilled. We were made to be like God, but we fell. The nature of God in us was not obliterated. The image of God in us was not obliterated, but it was marred. It was corrupted. It was contaminated. But it's restored by conversion and by consolidation in Christ. God wants us to become like his son. How do we do that? We focus upon him. We take our eyes off of our selfishness and ourselves. We take our eyes off of our circumstances and our pressures, and we look right up into the very face of Jesus Christ, who knows exactly what's happening to us. He bore the brunt of more devastating pressures than you and I will ever bear. Consider him. Consider him. That's our focus. Then he says, consider him that endured. That's what God wants us to do. That's his faithfulness. Can I talk about that just for a moment? That's a powerful word, endured. It's that word that's used some 45 times in the New Testament, a very precious word that is generally translated patience or patient. It's a Greek word, hypomane. It's a very familiar and powerful and favorite word of the Apostle Paul and of Peter and other the apostles. It was used in classical Greek, just for a moment now, follow me now, we've got to think, we're here to think and to meditate and reflect upon what Christ did for us and how he bore up under it. He endured. What does it mean he endured? It was used in classical Greek of the ability of a plant to live under hard and unfavorable circumstances, to survive despite pressure. How it was used. It was used in Jewish literature during the Maccabean period. Remember Judas Maccabeus and those in the intertestamental period. It was used in Jewish literature during the Maccabean period of that spiritual staying power which enabled those Jews to fight and to die for the cause of God. Hypomane, endurance, patience, is not the patience which passively and grimly and with a spirit of resignation endures hardship, grits its teeth, clenches its fist. It isn't that. Instead, it is the patience which courageously, optimistically, joyfully accepts the worst that life can offer it and turns it into grace and glory. That's what Jesus did. That's how he endured. There was a spirit of joyful optimism who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, verse 2, Hebrews chapter 12. It has been called a masculine constancy under trial. Chrysostom, the ancient preacher, golden mouth he was called, many centuries ago, called it a root of all goods, the mother of piety. Fruit that never withers, a fortress that is never taken, a harbor that knows no storms. Have you met people like that? I've met people, lay people that have taught me so many lessons as a pastor. Men and women of God who lived out their lives under tremendous pressure. Powerful, difficult circumstances, always radiant with the joy of the Lord. I've marveled at their testimonies. It was as though their lives was a harbor where no storm could prevail, a fortress that no enemy could conquer. They knew what it was to endure, not with a spirit of grim resignation, but with positive, courageous, joyful optimism. Only Jesus Christ can help a man to do that. And Jesus Christ is first the personification, the portrait of that kind of endurance, and then he is the provider of it. He gives to us the capacity to do that. That was his faithfulness. Our focus, consider him, his faithfulness he endured, not in some grim, resigned fashion, but with a spirit of joyful optimism. Hupomane is that virtue which keeps a man on his feet when his face is to the wind. It enables him to accept God's will not with dumb resignation, but with holy joy. Not simply with the absence of murmur. God, what do you expect? At least I'm not complaining. Not simply with the absence of murmur, but with a song of praise, even in the difficult times. That was the spirit of Jesus Christ. That's the meaning of that word, endured. You need to know that. The spirit of endurance, a song of praise, a holy joy, an optimistic spirit. That was the spirit of Jesus. That's real faithfulness. Consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners. What were those contradictions of sinners against him? May I suggest this to you, that Jesus Christ endured seven great contradictions of sinners against him? Here they are very quickly. Number one, he suffered a contradiction in his birth. It was an humble origin versus an honorable one. The Bible says, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Luke 2 and verse 7. A manger is a place where animals are sheltered and fed. When the Lord of glory came to earth, he was born in a cave, probably, very literally, in a cave where men sheltered their beasts. He suffered a contradiction in his birth. That's what Isaiah meant in the Old Testament. He spoke prophetically of the birth and the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, he hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Isaiah 53 and verse 2. That does not mean that he was ugly or unattractive. What it means is that he had no kingly form. He had no regal majesty. He had no royal appearance. When Jesus came, he came not in the apparel of a king. He was born in a cave where animals are sheltered and fed. He united dust and deity, humanity and divinity. That was a decisive and a durative change. It continues. We can understand how dust would wish to join itself to deity, but it is impossible to conceive in the human mind or fathom the depth of the kind of love that would make deity willing to join itself to dust. And that's what Jesus did in his birth. He suffered a contradiction in his birth. He suffered, secondly, a contradiction in his family. His own family members early on thought that he was mad. The Bible says, and when his friends, literally, when his family, that's the Greek, when his family heard of it, they went out to lay hold on him, for they said, he is beside himself. Mark 3 and verse 21. He's mad. He's out of his head. Those were family members. John says, for neither did his brethren, John 7 and verse 5, for neither did his brethren believe in him. He suffered a contradiction in his own family.
Thank you for joining us for Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you would like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. You can call area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, email khmg@hbcguam.net. Coming up next time on Living Redemptively.
You desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and you killed the Prince of Life. That is a hostile contradiction.
That's coming up next time on Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.